again, just to make sure. Commissioner Adel?
Here.
Here.
Avedisian,
I can see you.
Here.
Commissioner Bush?
Here.
Thank you. Commissioner Curry? Is Commissioner Curry on the line? Commissioner DiBella?
Here.
Commissioner Healy?
I'm here.
Thank you. Commissioner Hoffman, I believe, is on the line.
Here.
Lester?
Here.
Commissioner Magnin, I saw, was present.
Here.
Commissioner Murata? Is Commissioner Murata in the meeting? Commissioner Payne, I know you are here. Commissioner Patel, are you still on the line?
Yes, I'm on the line.
Commissioner Sweezy is present. Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Torres? Is Commissioner Torres present? Commissioner Vecino is present. And Commissioner Wolf, I believe I saw him as well.
Yep, I'm on.
All right, thank you. Okay, we have a quorum, Commissioner Vecino.
Okay, we'll call to order the Bureau of Public Works special meeting, November 17th, 2020. Are there any public comments relative to the agenda items?
Mr. Chairman, this is Dave Silverstone. I had a quick comment on item 7.
Okay, go ahead, Dave.
Thank you. Item 7 concerns the Clean Water Project, and there's some materials that were distributed with the agenda addressing that. I think there's still a lot of questions I have regarding how the charge that individual customers pay is calculated. And I know we're not going to resolve those tonight, but I do think that that's something that the Bureau of Public Works needs to take a look at. Secondly, and probably more importantly, assuming the integrated plan is approved by the state, there is going to be a question as to whether projects are charged to the Clean Water Project Fund, meaning individual consumers pay, or whether it's going to be charged to the regular sewer capital improvement program, in which case it has an impact on the ad valorem. I think that issue needs to be addressed in some detail by the Bureau of Public Works, and I recognize you can't do that tonight. And since the charge is being kept stable this year, I'm not really insisting that it be discussed tonight, but I do think it needs to be on the agenda to really do a deep dive into that division between clean water projects and ad valorem projects. And I would urge you to put that on your calendars, for agendas, for sometime in 2021. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any further public comments relative to agenda items? Hearing none, let's move to item number 3, approval of minutes of September 30th, 2020.
So moved.
Do I hear a motion?
So moved. Sweezy.
Second.
Commissioner Payne.
Okay. Are any modification notes or changes to the minutes? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed or abstentions? Hearing none. We'll move to item 4, consideration of potential action encroachment agreement 5-9 Tunxus Avenue, Bloomfield. Who will make the presentation, John?
Commissioner, this is Mike Curley, Manager of Technical Services. I'll give the presentation.
Thank you, Mike.
This request for an encroachment came in October 2020. It's from, through their engineers, J.R. Russo Associates for the Narrow Family Limited Partnership and RBS Realty Enterprise, LLC. Just by way of background, right now, this site was formerly occupied by an ExxonMobil gas station. And when they took that gas station down, they filled in a considerable amount of fill. And that fill, as it turns out, is contaminated. So they've been active out there all year long removing that fill in the what they call the phase one area, which is the area where this developer is also building a parking lot, a driveway, and they're also going to be doing some drainage improvements. So the encroachment is really if you turn to your cross section, your slide that's on page 4-6, you'll notice that that's the plan view. The area that they're encroaching on is shaded there. The next slide shows a cross section of the worst condition, section AA and section BB. Is everybody there? So for this encroachment request, they're only asking for permission to excavate within the easement in the area that's shaded in cross section AA, as well as install some new storm drainage for the parking lot. ExxonMobil is going to be coming back in the future, sometime next year, to remove the remaining fill that was placed on that above the easement. So just FYI. And in this case here, the developer can't wait anymore, so he's going to take it out and be reimbursed by them. That's the extent of the presentation. Are there any questions?
Hearing no questions, could I have a motion?
Move the resolution, Sweezy.
Second.
Jason.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none. Again, thank you, Mike. Let's move on to consideration of potential action, sewer service to 1130 New Britain Avenue, Rocky Hill. I hear a motion. We'll move this.
State forward.
Who's making a presentation? Is Mike going to make a presentation on this also?
This is John Myrtle. There is a motion in the materials. And this request came to the district by way of Ray Jarema from the Berlin Water Control Commission that was just speaking at the end of the Water Bureau meeting.
Attorney Myrtle, I'm here for – this is Ray Jarema. I am here for any questions that may develop as a result of this proposal.
Okay. Thank you, Ray. So this property located in Rocky Hill, there was a map included with your materials. Basically, there is no MDC sewer that is in close vicinity at this time, and the property owner, I believe they are going to subdivide. I may be getting this confused with another issue, but I believe they're going to subdivide the property and they want to connect. But even if they're not, regardless, they also own the adjoining parcel that is in Berlin, and they are going to be connecting the 1130, or they're requesting to connect the 1130 New Britain Avenue property to the sewer lateral on another property that they own in Berlin, which will then ultimately connect to Berlin's sewer system. And the reason we're bringing this forward is obviously the property in Rocky Hill is a part of the district, and if BPW and the board were to allow this property to connect to Berlin's sewer system, in essence, we would be giving up territory, albeit, you know, one parcel. But they are requesting sewer service. Maybe Ray Drema might know more details about if they have.
Yeah, the two adjacent properties, 976 Deming Road, is right alongside 1130 New Britain Avenue, which is technically in Rocky Hill. The gentleman that owns 976 wants his daughter to move in on 1130, and he had taken an easement from our main to his property. Basically, and as Attorney Myrtle has pointed out, we're not interested in the service area. We're just interested in serving this individual. This would be served through our Deming Road pumping station, which I'll want to talk about a little later on. But anyway, it goes into the Little Brooks system also that picks up a good portion of Rocky Hill from MDC that goes into our system.
Okay, thank you. And so, in essence, the resolution before BPW tonight is to allow this property to connect to Berlin Sewer, but in order to do so, it would require an agreement between the district and Berlin Water Control Commission. And the resolution is authorizing that agreement to be drafted as approved by district council. And there are other similar agreements specifically with Berlin for other streets or properties where this similar situation exists. So this is not the first time this has happened, but that's the request before you tonight.
John, this is Al Taylor. With regards to those other properties, are there any payment controversies, or is everyone in good standing in terms of obligations that have been created and that we're owing and due? Are we going to have a parallel situation with regard to the water side? I guess that's my question.
There isn't, this is John Myrtle, there is an outstanding dispute. We brought that to DPW, maybe the last meeting, within the last 2 months or something, that there is a billing dispute on a similar basis as was described at the end of the Water Bureau meeting. But in general, we do believe, and I think Berlin would agree, that we have a good relationship between the two entities. But this issue is, it's over back charge or uninvoiced charges dating back a significant amount of time. So we're working to resolve that, but I think the interest is there to, if BPW were to allow this property to connect, to create an agreement that would allow that. And this may be a good opportunity for us to, there's at least, I think, 5 agreements that I've seen between the two parties. So this may be an opportunity to create one master agreement to address these issues.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Patel.
Go ahead, Commissioner.
Can somebody explain that the charges for sewer is paid by the towns? So does that mean that the town of Rocky Hill will have some understanding with the adjoining town? And I don't know how the financing takes place. Can you explain it?
I don't know if I can explain it correctly, but anyway, this individual that would be in Rocky Hill, and it's only a single individual, we're not going any further in terms of our service line. It ends in Berlin. It doesn't go to Rocky Hill. It's only the actual lateral would be coming from the home to the manhole that would be on the property on Berlin on 976 Deming Road. We would be charging the individual only for sewer fee. There is no public water there from either ourselves or you, being MDC at this point in that location. Our closest is about 500 feet down Deming Road heading west, so there's no public water in that area.
Is it any home or homes in the town pays for their sewer services? In this particular case, one property that is
I'm sorry, sir. The only I can succinctly say that we're not anticipating expanding into Rocky Hill, if that's your question. This is only to serve that one individual that has an adjacent property that he owns in Rocky Hill and Berlin. So as Attorney Myrtle put on, we're not taking that property. We're just serving that individual.
I'm not questioning specific arrangement, this one.
Okay.
I want to know principle under which how towns operate.
Oh.
So, Commissioner Patel, this is John Myrtle. Are you referring to when you're saying the towns pay for sewer, are you referring to Berlin's situation, or are you talking about the district?
District towns pay sewer services, et cetera, and that comes from their taxes. If one house.
Yes, right. Correct. Yes. So again, we do have. Go ahead, Commissioner.
If particular one home or 10 homes, any homes that will go to Berlin for their services, how does the transaction take place from the one town to another town in tax they collect?
So the way that works, and again, we have several other agreements specifically with Berlin, and I believe there are other areas in the district kind of on the edges where there may be sewer flow going one way or the other. But kind of to your point, so when a property requests to connect to Berlin in this example, obviously, Berlin is not going to take that sewage without payment. We receive that property owner, a portion of their property taxes is attributable to ad valorem. So if we allowed them to connect to Berlin and Berlin, for whatever choice, didn't make us pay anything, then in theory, we would be pocketing money through the ad valorem and they would be getting sewer service that we don't have any costs related to that. So the logic is, while we do we receive money through the ad valorem that passes through to the town, to the property owner, we then pay Berlin for the cost of transportation and treatment of that sewage. So in these agreements and references, basically they pay, a sewer user charge based on their estimated flow. As Ray Jarama just mentioned, I guess there's no public water there. So it would basically be an assumption based on a typical well user of how much water they would use. And then we would pay, the city of Berlin that amount of money each year.
Caroline. Question is, does the town of Rock Hill or any town have to agree with it? Are they part of the approval process or agreement?
No.
Okay. So we cannot ever face any issue where any town can come back to us and claiming that we gave some right to somebody else and we did not collect the money from them and ad valorem was paid by the town.
Again, arguably, the ad valorem for that one property, we would then be passing back to Berlin because we would have to pay for.
Okay.
So this is Commissioner Vecino. I guess what you're trying to understand is all the ad valorem funds come back to the town, and this in Rock Hill does that money we do put up.
It's charged to the town in their tax dollars. It goes to
right.
The MDC. The MDC will reimburse for that one service. We have five
correct.
Or six services like that in Rocky Hill at the present time that have been working correctly. We pay, we get the money from the towns. We pay for those four or five connections to, in this case, it would be the Berlin Water.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Sweezy. Is there any further questions on this? Do we have a motion?
Mr. Chairman,
someone had a question? There are no questions.
Yeah, Richie?
So move Richie. The resolution, Sweezy.
Second.
A second? Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed or abstention? Hearing none, the motion carries. Item 7, discussion clean water projects spent and budget.
But what about 6, or do we change that?
Oh, I'm sorry. Let's back up to 6. Consideration potential action 2021 district sewer user charge rates and other sewer charges. Do I hear a motion?
So move the resolution, Sweezy.
Second, Magnin.
Okay, discussion. Somebody going to make a presentation?
This is John Myrtle. I don't have a presentation prepared necessarily. This actually is the first year since I've been clerk that this resolution has been brought to BPW. Typically, Board of Finance would be the one to approve these sewer rates. However, on the water side, obviously the Water Bureau approves the water rates, and they also had kind of a sister resolution of miscellaneous charges. So I did think that it was appropriate to have BPW have the ability to consider these charges. It is setting the sewer user charge rates for per CCF of volume and then also strength charges, BOD, COD. So for nonprofits, tax-exempt entities, they pay a sewer user charge or also high-flow users, high-strength users are subject to those charges. This also includes the liquid waste discharge fee, which is the applicable fee for the landfill, the Hartford landfill.
Okay.
And then you'll see there's a table of various other charges. And I guess now that I'm looking at this, I just want to make sure. Scott and Chris Levesque, the liquid waste discharge fee, the first 500,000 gallons, it goes 13 cents, then 7 cents, then 5 cents. Is that 13 cents correct, or was it 10 cents, 7 cents, 5 cents?
This is Chris Levesque. It's 13 cents, 7 cents, and 5 cents. That's correct. That's been consistent for the last 2 years.
Okay, good. Okay, so like I said, there's a schedule of various fees, including fog fees and wastewater discharge compliance fees. If there's any questions, we can certainly answer them.
Are there any questions?
This is Commissioner Bush. I don't know if this question is relevant regarding this, but one of the things that was brought up earlier this year was some people who had watered their lawn and had very high water bills, and they were complaining that the sewer part of the charge was unfair because it wasn't actually going down the sewer. Is there any discussion about that, or is that just it's a non-issue at this point?
So this is John Myrtle.
Yeah, this is Scott Johnson. Commissioner Bush, this issue has been debated since 2008. The problem with that is the way in which we sold the bonds for the Clean Water Program was based on water consumption. So in order to change that, not only do we have to change the ordinance, we have to change our entire structure of how we bonded the $2.8 billion that we spent to date. So whether it's fair or not is really immaterial at this point. The changes to change it means that if we're not going to charge, and I'll give you an example. A lot of the golf courses have started to drill wells. A lot of the businesses along Corporate Row up in Bloomfield, there's a city ordinance that says you must, in Windsor, you must water your lawns in that general area as part of the city ordinance. So a lot of towns and a lot of businesses have drilled wells to deal with this issue. But the problem is that if we choose to exclude those users based on the original bonds that have been sold and sold to date, then we have to increase the rate for everyone. Again, we're a nonprofit. There's a certain amount of money that we need, about $65 million a year, and you can cut it. You got a pie. You got a pizza. And you can cut it in, a bunch of different shapes, but it's still the same size pie. So we need $65 million. And if we choose to reduce the expense to some, then others are going to pay more.
Oh, this is Commissioner Bush. Thank you very much for that explanation. It does help. I do have people that have contacted me directly about that question. So I can now reply in a more intelligent way. So thank you for the answer. Appreciate it.
Again, this is Commissioner Pacino. Scott, I have two questions. The first question is the liquid waste discharge. Are all our customers metered for the discharge?
This is Chris Levesque. Yes, all of our customers currently right now are metered. We do have another state agency, Connecticut Airport Authority, that is getting a meter installed right now for a permanent discharge from their glycol system under this structure fee.
And to add to that, Commissioner Vecino, your question, our ordinance has typically, John Myrtle, correct me if I'm wrong, but we had this discussion during budget talks. The way the original ordinance was written was that the property owner was responsible to install the meter and provide us with access. And what we have proposed this year, John, please correct me if I'm wrong, is that we are going to require a mandate that the meter is installed and the MDC has access to that meter. So, John, did you make those corrections this year?
Let me, I'm pulling up the ordinance provisions just to make sure.
And the reason why this is important is that we can, as you can imagine, a sewer meter is probably the most inefficient mechanical device you can possibly imagine. You imagine a water meter, just clean water running through it. Imagine a sewer meter with lots of stuff running through it. So the calibration of that device is monotonous. And so we are trying to right side this ship with making sure that we have the proper meter. We've been dealing with this at the at Bradley Airport for years, and so we're trying to get the right equipment in there with the right radio frequency devices that can read this meter, these meters automatically.
Yes, Scott, this is John Myrtle. The proposed amendment to Sewer Ordinance S12D, it adds the requirement for including a sewer flow meter with a radio frequency transmitter.
Thank you.
Okay, my second question on liquid waste discharge. It's a significant drop from Tier 1 to Tier 2, almost 50%, 6 cents a gallon. Have we run costs? Would it cost to treat this? Because that's why is it so significant? If I go 500,000 plus 1 gallon, I almost cut my cost in half.
Commissioner Lucino, this is Scott Jellison. So we had lots of discussions with DEEP about this over the years about what does it actually cost to treat the landfill? Our position has been technically, if you try to technically explain the actual amount of cost to treat the sewer that's coming from one of these facilities, it's a loser. It's a loser conversation. The question is, do we have to take this stuff? That's the question. Does the MDC need to take this type of waste and deal with the environmental crisis that comes with it? For example, the service that comes from the landfill, if they were to that water main or sewer main break that occurs between the landfill and the plant, who pays for that environmental cleanup? The MDC does. The user, the distributor, the discharger doesn't pay for anything. So these rates have been developed over the years. They're consistent across the Connecticut. They're consistent across the country. Is to encourage people to not discharge this stuff. So the rates aren't based on what it actually costs to treat. It's based on a significant rate to encourage people to not discharge this stuff to the plant.
Well, Scott, that's
Commissioner Vecino, this is John Myrtle. This is John Myrtle. Maybe I'm misunderstanding your question, but I think it sounded like the way that the rate works is you pay 13 cents per gallon for the first 500,000 gallons. Then for 500. Okay.
I understand that part, John. What I don't understand is why we discount for taking product we don't want. In other words, we're going to give them 7 cents a gallon for everything over 500,000. We don't want it.
Yeah.
But it should be the reverse. We should pay.
Yeah. Commissioner, I agree 100%. 100%. And here's what happened in 2018. So Pratt & Whitney, they owed us about $8 million a year. We found out they were discharging to our plants not only contaminated groundwater but also or stormwater that is not – they're not – remember, we have a CSO community, which is Hartford, and we have an SSO community, which is the other seven towns, including East Hartford. But yet the state of Connecticut issued a permit to Pratt & Whitney to discharge stormwater to MDC sewer system that they had no right to permit. And we found out about it in 2018. And under this ordinance, we have decided there's two things. We could either say no, you aren't allowed to discharge this to our system, or we said, listen, what you're discharging, and I'm guessing, but it's about 160,000 gallons a day, plus or minus. The answer was you either remove that from our system or pay us $8 million. I had a number of meetings with Pratt & Whitney on site with both Chris Stone and Chris Levesque at a technical and legal level. And the decision Pratt & Whitney made was they were going to basically develop a system, a infrastructure system that would discharge this fluid to their own treatment plant, which would remove $8 million in revenue from the MDC. So as part of that discussion about creating a rate structure that, although we don't want this stuff, the question is, can we handle it? And, you know, it's one way of creating a revenue that can help offset the cost, the tremendous offset of cost of the clean water program. So we developed this graduated rate, which basically cut Pratt & Whitney's rate from $8 million down to $3.6 million. And it also reduced the state of Connecticut landfill from $4 million down to $2 million. So what that did for us, Commissioner, is although we don't want it, the system can handle it, no problem, and it's revenue that we desperately need. And in terms of Pratt & Whitney, $3.6 million divided by 400,000, four divided into 36 is nine, roughly. So that's about an 8-point-something% increase in ad valorem if we did not have Pratt & Whitney.
Okay, thank you for the explanation. Any further questions? I think we had a motion and a second. All those in favor of the sewer user charge rates and other sewer charges, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none. Now we'll move on to item number 7, discussion, clean water project and budget.
Good evening, Susan Negrelli here. There were four slides that were forwarded as part of your package regarding this issue. And in order to update you on these clean water project expenditures, I just want to remind you the clean water project is not part of our budget process. You know, the projects really are, and the spend, the expenditures on the clean water project are really driven by the consent order and consent decree compliance. So it doesn't go through the budget process like our regular rates typically do. The clean water project charge is remaining stable at this time. I think this is the third year we're at 410 per CCF. So it is staying the same. But on the slide 2 there, your expenditures through the end of 2020, you can see basically on the bar graph that through the inception of our program in 2007, we've spent more than $1.4 billion. The peak of our spend was in 2015 through 2018, and those years were when we had the tunnel starting up and we were doing the expansions at the Rocky Hill and the Hartford Water Pollution Control Facility. So that those 3 years we had the most spend going on. Right now, the wet weather expansion projects have since ended, and what's left on the, you know, tailing it on that chart is the spend in this recent year is mostly the tunnel project plus some the consolidation conduits and some smaller, like the Gough Brook relief sewer and stuff like that, smaller projects. On the next slide, we show you the projected clean water project and IP and integrated planned expenditures. And again, over the next few years, it does show us peaking because we are finishing the tunnel. We'll have the tunnel pump station to build and some more consolidation conduits. But then we've basically showed our integrated plan spend, which of course is going to hinge on funding. But it just kind of creeps along over $40 million per year until we get to the second peak that you see there out in the 2040 timeframe. And that is for the construction of the second tunnel, which is we refer to it as the downtown tunnel. And again, if you recall, we've had this discussion before, but we were pushing the second tunnel off so that we could pay the significant debt from the current projects off prior to starting the second tunnel. And then on the last slide, I think we presented this slide to you very the last month or two. It's just to show you a summary of our authorized funds and our current expenditures. On this table, you can see we've had the two $800 million referenda, and we've added the supplemental allocation of the grant funds from contracts 2 and 5. So authorized to date to spend is the $1.758 billion. We have expended, committed, and allocated 1.736 of that. And so our reserve at this point is about just under $23 million. That is all I have on those three slides. Scott, I didn't know if you wanted to go into any other detail on that, but I wanted to make sure that the commissioners knew that the clean water project expenditures aren't really part of the yearly budget process.
Yeah, Susan, thank you. And I just want to reiterate what Susan said. There's $23 million left out of roughly $1.8 billion. And my conversation with Deep and Chris and Sue a couple of weeks ago was, they would want to argue on the integrated plan that we need to keep continuing and we need to spend what we need to spend to finish it. And my argument is not without any grant and loan money, because we spent $1.8 billion with a B, billion dollars, and Bridgeport, New Haven has spent total maybe $70 million. Billion versus million. So the answer is we need and the one thing that the 0% increase for the ad valorem is really important, because our town stood up this year. Our town stood up, Democrat and Republican stood up to support the integrated plan. And that was so important. That's why. It's not because of staff, it's not because of me, it's not because of anything. It's because the town stood up and told Deep and the politicians that we will not put up with a mandate without financial grant and loan program. So hopefully we will have a resolution with Deep that has a consent order modified that is drafted around continuing on with all the good work we've done as long as there's funding available at the levels of grant and loan that we have expected. And if that takes 20 years, then it takes 20 years. But no one can argue that the state of Connecticut spent $1.7 billion and Boston spent $900 million. Those are facts. So we're pushing hard, and we'll probably need some support from our towns in the future when we get close to resolving this issue.
Thank you, Scott. Commissioner, questions? Are there any questions?
This is Al Taylor. I've got two questions. The first is with regard to the tunnel. I guess I haven't seen anything lately as to where we are and what's the situation financially, and also in terms of, are there any contractual issues that we may have to contend with when this project is completed. Can someone give us an update on this at some point in time?
Before, Commissioner, this is Scott Jellison. Before we get into, you know, contractual issues, I think we would need executive session. But, Susan, you can get into the details about progress and where we are with percent complete versus percent paid.
Yep. So right now we're at about just over 12,000 feet into the mining, with probably a little more than 9,000 to go. Right now we are in the what's called the Holyoke basalt. It's very hard, but yet there's not a lot of water in this area. So we're seeing mining about 50 or 60 feet a day in this area. We gave you an update probably at the September maybe BPW meeting about where we were. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but as far as paid to date and completion to date, they were both in the 70-75% range of what's completed and paid to date. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, and they would have changed slightly with the October payment. What else? What would you like to know, Commissioner Taylor?
Well, are we having any water issues? Because I know at one time there was. So we were sort of grappling with that a little bit in terms of what was it, lining the tunnels?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, Chairman Pacino, we're getting very close to discussing a potential claim that's been filed. So
okay. Okay.
It's all right. John, do we have the ability to go into executive session at this point?
Well,
technologically.
Chris, may I ask a question here? I'm not looking for a discussion about this right now. I guess I'd just like to find out is later on down the line, because I think that, you know, we want to move this along. But I think at some point in time, if this is going to be an issue, that we have it appropriately in executive session. And maybe it's, you know, given what we've got here now, we should think about, you know, delaying that or putting that off at a more appropriate time. That's the only issue that I have.
This is Scott Jellison. I would like to say, Chris Stone, sorry. I would like to say that, you know, in our presentations throughout this process, since really 2010 when we started talking about the concept of tunneling, one thing we knew that is the Achilles heel to a tunneling project is water. You're 250 feet down, on average, 175 feet. So you're really drilling a well, an artesian well, horizontally, not vertically. So we knew and we know that water is our biggest problem in building a tunnel. And every tunnel project across the country and the world has dealt with and deals with water. So water is a expected problem. It's not something that we would call it a surprise.
Yep. Well, I'm not disagreeing with you.
If I might, Mr. Chairman, Chairman Pacino, this through you, it's a very important issue that Commissioner Taylor brings up, and I think in a relatively short period of time, it will be the subject of a Bureau of Public Works meeting, perhaps even a standalone meeting, to discuss where we are and what claims there might be out there that we need to address. So, I don't want to discuss it openly at this point. It's not
fine.
Appropriate. Your point's well taken, Commissioner. So we will have that in the near future.
Thank you. Thank you, Chris.
The only reason I raise it is that inadvertently I was reading something about a tunnel that's being built someplace else, and they had a really some real problems with water. And I just, you know,
yeah.
That's why I'm raising the issue. It's just serendipity
it's
more than anything
well
else.
Taken. No, it's a point well taken.
Yeah. Okay.
So we'll set it up for a meeting coming up in the future. And
okay.
John, you'll get a hold of me and we'll discuss the agenda for that. Any further questions on the clean water project spent in budget? Hearing none, we'll move to item 8, opportunity for general public comments.
Good evening. This is Ray Jerayman, Berlin Water Control again. As I mentioned in the Water Bureau meeting, I had one issue with the water, and then I have two issues with the sewer. Similarly to the situation on Rowley Street, where Rowley Street on the northern side is basically Newington and MDC territory. As I mentioned earlier, at Willow Lane and Rowley Street, we supply the water, and we were not reimbursed for that, but we also supply the sewer customers along Rowley Street, which are MDC customers. So similarly, we have historically not been paid for that portion. It's a smaller portion than the one for the water. It's about $11,000. So it's not a very large amount. The bigger issue is the second issue is that we do provide service to MDC, Rocky Hill, and Newington through our Deming Road pump station, which I historically was able to find an agreement only because I was upgrading the pumping station, the water pumping station on Rowley Street for the connection to MDC, and found out that that has not been paid since 1987. When I looked into it, I actually saw the original invoices and the last payment that was made in 87. So since 87 to currently, there was no payment made to the to Berlin Water Control. Since then, I've been working with Chris Levine and Jason Waterbury with regard to the payment which was agreed upon from 2010 to 2019. But what I'm asking for is to some kind of compensation for the period of 1987 to 2009. Now, you have to think about it. In the old days, this area was non-developed. There was no Home Depot. There was nothing along the Berlin Turnpike. There were just outdoor theater, and there was basically nothing in this area. So 90% and 80% of the flow most of the time was through the MDC from Newington and Rocky Hill through the Littlebrook and through the Rowley Street meter stations. So I'm looking at some kind of fairness equity issue here because I have a hard time personally looking at 22 years of service where we didn't bother MDC at all. MDC enjoyed in terms of its investments, and we paid for all the services that were provided, all the pumps that were broken, all the meters that we had to deal with, all the manpower that was done either overtime or regular time. In a confined space, and a whole bunch of other issues we've done, and we've never really addressed it with MDC at all. So I think it in the fairness in some kind of an equity perspective, I think we deserve something for that portion of and I know Chris can't make this decision, and I needed to bring it up to the board to make some kind of compensation to look for something so that 22 years of service, and I guess it's faithful service because MDC never even thought about it, we provided that service. There are about 1,200 customers. We provide less than 120 customers. So we basically have a total of 2,800 customers for water and sewer, and 1,200 of those customers are sewer service customers from the MDC.
Can we handle this the same way as the water?
I'm sorry, one at a time.
Yeah, this is
Commissioner Vecino.
Yeah.
Okay, Commissioner.
Agenda item, John. So, how do we handle this,
Commissioner Vecino? I'd like to, Commissioner Sweezy, have it on the next Public Works agenda to be discussed at that time. That way, Chris Levesque and Ray can work out the numbers they believe are what we possibly owe the Berlin Water District. Tonight, Water Bureau is going to send this to finance on the water side. We believe there's around $32,000 owed to the Berlin Water District, and we did send it. We moved it forward to the finance committee to review and then send to the full board. But for us to have discussion, if we could put it on the next agenda.
Thank you, Commissioner Sweezy. I just want to explain, because it's just general public comment, it's not an agenda item for us to start discussion on, but we can move it to another meeting date so we can have a full discussion and we can get all the background from staff.
That's correct,
Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Thank you. And we appreciate everything, Ray, and we will get back on it at our next meeting.
I appreciate that, Chairman. Thank you very much.
Commissioner Vecino?
Any further opportunity for public comments? Go ahead.
Commissioner DiBella.
Go ahead.
Is it appropriate to ask a question? Is this the same issue with the water rate where we hadn't been billed, or was it we were billed and didn't pay?
I think it's fair to say we couldn't do it without your service. What I had historically seen is that we would request payments from you and then get it from a gentleman. What I think happened is that both people retired at the same time, and it just died. It just died in 1987 was the last invoice. And
We cannot
bill you without your information on the flow coming in from Raleigh Street and the Little Brook meter station. So to answer the question is basically we required your information to provide to in order for us to write an invoice.
Did you request that information?
Correct.
You requested it and we didn't send it to you?
I don't think it was ever requested, to tell you the truth. I'm only looking at what I have. I wasn't here in 1987, obviously, but the point of it is whatever I could find indicated that there was a process in place where someone here would ask what the flow is and then write out an invoice for that based on that pumping station, and then you would end up paying. And the last one was 1987, and then there were none, no correspondence after that whatsoever.
Okay. I understand.
Thank you. Any further opportunity for general public comments? Hearing none, commissioner commenting questions. Hearing none, the motion to adjourn.
So moved.
So moved.
Adjourn. Thank you.